good morning, afternoon, or evening, whenever you're listening to us. My name is Luke Diamond.
And I'm Mariah King.
And you're listening to In the Know.
Breaking down the used news.
Long title, short episode.
Sexy, sexy hosts.
Oh, wow. That was, whew, wowzers. This little studio is getting pretty steamy.
If you've listened to last week's episode, you know that the probability of that happening is ungodly slim. Speaking of sexy, Luke, have you seen those dank vape clouds around campus?
I haven't because I'm not a freshman anymore who lives in one of the dorms. I'm sorry if you're a freshman and you're listening. No offense. I was once in your shoes and maybe
no
in your dorm.
Addictions.
If you live in Middlebrook on the 11th floor, might also be in your dorm. But speaking of vapes, the Food and Drug Administration is cracking down on those little USB looking jewel devices, forcing the company to prove that they can keep their vapes out of the hands of minors in the next 60 days. And if they don't, the FDA could remove Juuls from the market and or prosecute e-cigarette vendors.
That's right, kids. You heard it here first. You only have a couple weeks left to perfect your vape tricks.
And post them to your Finsta. Mariah, what else is going on campus this week?
Well, the university has added more solar panels around campus and will continue to add more. So if you want to grab a pair of shades and go check them out, there are new ones right behind Anderson Library.
Oh, sweet. Gotta keep the earth not warm, even though that's what we all crave 6 months a year, is just an ounce of warmth.
Speak for yourself. I thrive in the winter, as does my skin tone.
Okay. You're so white, I feel like you just might. It's like an invisibility cloak.
Calm down, Louisiana. Us here in the Midwest. Yeah, you're right. What else do we have for campus news?
So this week, there's been an investigation launched into a delayed fellowship in the medical school because some have claimed that it violates academic freedom. This fellowship was going to provide a position for a doctor to come train at the university and provide reproductive procedural services. And there were some pro-life groups that were pretty not happy about that. And they had a few choice words for the university. And after they made their thoughts known, this fellowship got delayed. The start date got delayed. And there were some people equally unhappy about that. So now we're investigating whether or not that violated academic freedom.
Yep, sounds like a controversy indeed. All right, Luke, you think it's time we dive into the big news of the week?
I do. I do think that that's exactly what we should do. So moving into our first story, we spoke with...
My name is Emma Dill, and I'm a staff reporter on the City Desk, and I cover the Cops and Courts beat. This week, I was working on a story that my editor, Madeline, brought to me, and she kind of realized that there have been a lot of violent crime incidents around campus. The first one was on West Bank near Cedar Riverside.
Police say the call came in around 7:20 tonight. When officers arrived, they found a man who had been shot and killed in a car.
Another shooting happened right next to the West Bank light rail station.
Early yesterday morning, 18-year-old Dara Host was shot multiple times in the Seven Corners area.
And then two guys were shot on Washington Ave.
Just after bar closing time at 2 a.m., officers in the area heard shots fired. They found a man with a non-life-threatening gunshot wound. Then around 2:20 this morning, another gunshot victim showed up.
And then I think last weekend there were reports of shots fired in Dinkytown.
And then there were more shots fired in Marcy Holmes.
So I'm basically kind of looking at that and then comparing that to real crime trends like on campus and in precincts 1 and 2, which are the Minneapolis police precincts that kind of encompass the area where students live in and around campus.
And what she discovered certainly wasn't what I was expecting.
So essentially, I found that through talking with Chief Clark and looking at the data that the Minneapolis Police Department provides on their website, I found that essentially crime has not changed. It's plateaued, it's stayed pretty much the same for both the campus community and the community directly off campus. I also kind of found that in precincts 1 and 2, which are the precincts that kind of encompass campus and areas where students live surrounding campus that they have some of the lowest crime rates in the city.
Which makes, like, no sense. So I was like, how is there shooting after shooting after shooting, but crime rates are staying stable?
Yeah, essentially, crime goes up on campus, on and around campus.
Basically, what she told me was that while these crimes can make it feel as if we're living through a particularly dangerous semester, the overall rate of violent crime in precincts 1 and 2 isn't much different than any other fall semester. And that compared to other areas of Minneapolis, we're actually pretty safe. How would you respond to a student who either believes or is proliferating the rumor that University of Minnesota is more unsafe now than it has ever been?
I would honestly just tell them to look at the crime statistics. I mean, the university police department posts on its website an updated crime log each day. So you can look through the incidents. And as far as I can tell, theft seems to be really common. But other than that, it doesn't seem like violent crime or any more serious crimes are really an issue.
Yeah, thanks for coming on and thanks for enlightening us to our safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no problem.
Now we're going to switch gears to the lighter side of things and sit down with Liv Martin, an arts and entertainment reporter here at The Daily. What's going on this week, Liv?
So last week, Wiseman had something a little bit different going on during one of their usual WAM study nights. They had what was called the Homework Art Rental Launch Party. And
that's a mouthful.
Yeah, it's definitely a mouthful. It's an annual event they have, and it's something that WAM Collective sort of oversees and has a lot to do with. And basically, WAM has this collection, this rental collection that students may not know, but anybody who belongs to sort of the university campus family can rent art from at any time. I had like 45 pieces of art, different pieces of art, like screen prints, drawings, paintings.
And they're all for rent?
And they're all for rent.
Are they expensive?
No, it was only $15 for students to rent. So I think
for how long?
For the semester.
Oh, wow.
And then if you are really like wedded to your piece of art, mm-hmm. and you love it so much, then you can keep it for the entire year. You just have to go back and like re-rent it with them.
That's so cool. Is this like a brand new program here at the U?
No, it's actually been going on since the
30s. 1930s?
Yeah, 1934.
No way.
To be exact. Yeah, so basically the story with that is there's this guy, Hudson Walker, who I think is part of the family that was a big benefactor to the Walker Art Center. So it's the same sort of big art mm-hmm. family. And anyways, Hudson Walker, he lived in Minneapolis briefly and was one of the people who started WAM from the beginning. So he had a big role in starting that museum. And it wasn't always called WAM either. It was called the Little Gallery for a while. And then grew into what we now know as WAM.
That's so cool. So of the 45 pieces that are up for rent, how many of those actually get rented? Do they all go pretty quick? Or does it take a while for people to settle on one that they want?
Well, you know, I was there observing for a while, and people usually do a couple laps around and just, like, look at the art for a while before they make their decision. But last week, 20 of the 45 works were rented out to students. So, but, I mean, that was just on the night of the launch party. You can go and rent art from WAM whenever, really.
Oh, so it's not just the night that it launches. You have to kind of buy or leave it be. You get to go back and rent whenever you want.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So then the 45 pieces, do those rotate at semester or?
No, actually, you can rent from an even larger collection than they had present at the launch party. So it's like a collection of like 1,200 works that they have set aside to rent. But a lot of those end up going to university departments or like faculty themselves. anyways, that's what somebody in WAM Collective was telling me. So right now, 850 pieces of art are rented out, and most of them are just like around campus. You know, you see art in your like in your buildings. You see art in the buildings you have classes in, and that's most likely from WAM.
Are the works done by local artists, famous painters, or students here at the U?
I'm not sure if they're. I think it's a broad collection. I don't think they would be renting out art to students from like big name artists, stuff mm-hmm. that is valued at a little bit more. They were telling me when I went to interview people at the launch party that none of the art there, for insurance reasons, was more than $500. So it was yeah, that was its worth. Just to make sure, like if it were damaged, mm-hmm. that it wouldn't be a huge loss to the museum, because you know it is sort of like a leap of faith to just like hand out art to students and then expect them to take good care of it. And
yeah, how often does that come back damaged?
So I was told that there have only been 5 cases ever since it started, so since the 30s, that they've ever had a problem with damaged art. And so if that were to happen, they assess those damages on a case-by-case basis.
So for all the time that you spent at the Wiseman reporting on this story, what was your favorite piece?
Oh, there was a lot of cool pieces, but I really fell in love with this one sketch. It was a drawing of this girl, and she was sitting with a flower in her hand, and the yellow was background, and it was a really simple sketch, but I just really liked that one.
Well, thanks so much for sitting down with us today, Liv, and telling us all about this really cool event. That's all for this week. Thanks for listening.
And one last note of good news. You can now listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.